This episode is brought to you by Stay Roasted, the ultimate fresh roasted coffee subscription. Get your first bag of coffee for free. You only pay shipping when you visit stayroasted.com/stream. That's stayroasted.com/stream. Coming up on TMS, December is upon us.
Fiat guy is a weirdo.
One last call for alcohol, so finish your whistling and beer.
That teacher's name is funny.
Buckets of gold.
Therapy Thursday and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Introducing Kush, the comfortable nighttime companion. Kush maintains a more natural shape while resting on your side. No straps, no underwires, no constraints, no adhesives, and no garments needed.
Exploding wolf spider horrifies Australian couple.
The Morning Stream. There's a snake in my boots.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to The Morning Stream for the 1st of December, 2016. It is the beginning of a brand new month. Get hyped, Brian. Get hyped.
I'm hyped.
Push up that, push up the wall. See, no, how's that go? Put your hands in the air like you just don't care. Raise the ceiling.
I don't care about my hands being in the air.
Okay, good. People couldn't see you do that unless they're watching live, yeah, I suppose. So that's
I was raising the roof, listeners.
Oh, there you go. Raising the roof, yeah. No one says that anymore.
No.
I feel like that's a bygone deal. No one says raise the roof.
When I say T, you say M-S-T.
Oh, Lord. Well, no thanks. Yeah, it's funny how those things come in and out, though, right?
Like, yeah, oh, totally, yeah.
What was a big one?
Somebody scream!
I feel like...
What was our thing? Yeah. It was...
what we have that was prominent for us. Oh, that reminds me. I'll tell you a thing after you tell me
something. You mean like, okay, so like at a concert, something that people would... Like a dance or something that would be interactive with the
Or just something stage. You'd even just say, or the dance would start and everybody would go, I don't know, like... Push the deal. Stick
well,
it up
we had
the deal.
We had the running man. We had the...
oh, yeah. There was the running man.
Yeah.
Ugh. Never mind. This trip down memory lane
is
painful.
Yeah, it's not bringing back good memories. It's
not helping me at all. You know the only phrase or terminology that's stuck with me since junior high and has never left? Mm-hmm. Because lots of stuff come and go.
Sure. Rad seems to stick in your vocabulary.
Yeah, I can't seem to drop rad, but even more so, I think the word dude just stayed.
Oh, dude? Sure.
Dude has never left me. And
no, I think dude is perennial. I think dude is like cool, where it has just become so absorbed into our lexicon that it doesn't feel like a fad. It doesn't feel like there's a time and a place for dude.
Yeah.
And it doesn't hurt that, you know, dude fits well with your Western sensibilities, right? I mean, you can hear Sam Elliott, well, that was the first time I met the dude. This dude.
I'm trying to remember, though, if I ever heard the word dude in an actual Western, even though the reference is originally to, you know, dude ranches. And
right, of course.
But I don't think I've ever seen a Western.
No, you don't see.
Where anyone goes, dude, step off.
Clint Eastwood rolling up into the center of town. Dude. I'm going to shoot you now, dude.
We're drawing.
No, very true.
We're drawing guns at noon, dude.
Yeah.
Doesn't really work.
Dice Tomato says Back to the Future 3. Was there? Oh, Buford says it?
Oh, he does? What does he say? What's the context, though? How does he say it?
I don't know.
Buford.
Buford Tannen.
Uh-huh. Freaking that movie is so good. I love the third movie.
It really is. Yep. You know what? And I say this with no hyperbole. 1 and 3 make 2 better.
I agree.
On its own, 2's crap.
Yep. But nobody eats meat on its own. You don't need a piece of salami just laying there. You have to have a good bread on both sides.
Right.
And that's a good sandwich there. But on its own, it's kind of a floppy piece of crappy meat in the middle. If that movie was the only movie, oh, man. We would not revere Back to the Future the way we do if all that existed was Back to the Future 2. I can promise you that.
Right. Okay, so here, you want the clip that where Buford Tannen says, dude?
Give me the clip. Put it in the chat.
Put it in chat right here. Here you go.
All right. There it is. It's a YouTube video. What's wrong, dude? You yella? Marty's looking back slowly. This video's a little choppy for me. I don't know. There we go.
Nobody calls me yellow.
Oh, okay. So he called him dude and then called him yellow.
Yeah. Everybody calls me dude, but nobody calls me yellow.
Oh, my Lord. All right. Well, that movie. Maybe it's not as good as I remember, but I want to watch it again.
It is. It really is.
Isn't it the one? It's the one where Doc Brown's kids point at their wieners at the end.
Yes, just one of them.
Okay. It's the one.
Just one kid. And it's either Jules or Vern. I can't remember which one.
And they're not pointing at each other's wieners.
No. It's just one kid pointing at his wiener, just like,
okay.
This is my breakout role, and people will be talking about my performance for years to come.
The one thing I will ever be remembered for, pointing at my wiener.
Pointing at the family jewels.
Exactly.
And Vern.
Yep. There you go. Hey, can everyone, this is just a request, can everyone stop tweeting me or emailing me saying, hey, what's up with your buddy Mittens? What's going on with Mitt Romney? What's going on with him at dinner with Trump? What's going on? I thought, no apologies. What's going on? I don't know. I don't know him.
Raise your hand if you've touched Mitt Romney's junk.
But that was just a random happenstancy thing. I don't know him. He doesn't know me. I don't talk to him. We don't all know each other here. Besides, he doesn't even live here right now.
Listen, this is your, you know what? You grin and bear it, because this is the equivalent of any time anyone sees a bald guy with a goatee, they have to have a picture of it, post it on Twitter, and says, it's Brian Ebbett.
Yeah, that does happen a lot. Yeah. You could take a Sharpie, put a little mustache and a goatee on the Mr. Clean guy, and yeah, and exactly. Look like you. So I totally get that. But it's just like, I don't know. What's you going to do now? How do you feel about this? Where's your head at now? Like, listen, I don't know what happened at that dinner. I don't know anything about that stuff. Like, sure. Would I rather have a Trump administration with a semi-sane guy like Romney in there? Yes. Would I like Romney to have to apologize to that orange peanut for anything? No. And if he does that, that'll be very disappointing. If part of this deal is he has to like grovel to get in there, F that. All right. But that's all the opinion I have.
That circus peanut in an Armani suit. By the way, you know what I thought of this morning?
What?
And I don't know if I was going to tweet this or just say it on the show, but I finally figured out what it is about Trump's tweets that seems so familiar. They're written like someone who receives something on eBay and is leaving a review of it.
Mm. Oh.
So for example, my third eye blind jigsaw puzzle arrived with 8 missing pieces. Disgraceful.
Not a fan.
Not a fan, exactly.
Yeah, no, you're right. That is there's a certain language to it that I find grating, but I mean, some people like it, I guess. Yeah, no, that's a good example. That's a really maybe like a Yelp review,
right?
Like a,
right.
Or a bad Amazon
Yelp
review.
Tend to be wordy because people all of a sudden when they're writing a Yelp review, they think that they're Roger Ebert looking at the out of Africa or something.
Right.
Like the food arrived with a flourish as the waiter put my plate in front of me, and my ribs, the smell wafted into my nose like. Yeah.
Wait, I wanted to know what it was like.
What it was okay, like you're putting me on the spot here. The scent of my ribs wafted into my nose like one of those pies left on the windowsill in a comical cartoon in the 60s.
See? I knew you'd get there. There was an end point. I like that. Yeah, so whatever. I don't know Romney. He doesn't know me, so quit asking me because I have no freaking idea. This weird idea that there's some hive mind in Utah where everybody knows what everyone else is thinking. I don't know. I have no idea.
Utah hive mind. It is the beehive state. There you go. Hive
mind. It is the beehive state. You're right. Because we're busy. We're busy little industrious people. That's our thing. We hold to that. But I don't hold with knowing Romney, bub. And
photo does look like a romantic dinner though, with the light, the soft lighting.
Well, his okay. Except for the Jack Nicholson face Trump's making. And Romney has a face of, what the hell am I doing here?
Totally does.
I mean, we're all reading into it, but that's what it feels like, right? It's awful dark in there, too.
That's right. All work and no play makes Donald and...
I don't. I mean, the Photoshop's have been pretty great so far.
Oh, I haven't seen the Photoshops. Okay, now I get something to look for after the show. Beautiful.
You yesterday, so Brian, you're responsible yesterday for an outburst of laughter I haven't had in a long time.
Oh, which one was it? Because it was those two videos.
Uh-huh. I laughed at the first one, but I really laughed at the second one.
The second one. I missed the second half of that video because I was laughing and tearing up so loud.
Yeah. It's so funny. Like, I'm going to play it. And yeah, I know I'm sure plenty of people have seen this. So if this is old to you, I apologize. Whoops. I can't be searching. Here we go. I got to find your bill.
Oh, my link?
Yeah, no, I got to find your account first. This is stupid.
Oh, okay.
The way this is working. Okay, here we go. So you wrote.
By the way, another J. Martin says that AGR is down. Really?
Oh, is it?
Huh.
I don't
know. Nobody else has mentioned it.
Says it's up here. Oh, I'm looking at the page now. All the radio channels are down.
Oh, really? Okay, so maybe Tom's doing something.
Yeah, or it's just not working.
God!
I can't find it now. How long ago did you print it or do it?
I posted it last night at 8:30.
Oh, it's not like you tweet that much. Why can't I find it?
No, you want me to find it and put a link?
Yeah, do that, because it's really funny. So basically, you guys remember that weird little red creature talking app that you could get on your phone? What was it called? Repeating Jill or Jim?
It was like a little, I can't remember what it was called.
The little big mouth creature, and if you said something to your phone, a moment later, it would repeat it, but in a higher octave. And so he was like copying you, so you'd go, "You're ugly," and he'd go, "You're ugly," and it would just be your voice, but then...
there we go. Sidian beat it to me. Dueling Carl.
Here it is. Dueling Carl. Talking Carl. That's it. So I'm going to play this because it's pretty freaking funny. Here we go. Dueling Carls, this is called. I hate the intro, though.
This is Talking Carl.
I'm talking.
This is Talking Carl. He repeats everything you say. And he's going to get in a fight. My voice is higher than your voice.
At some point, it's just white noise.
It's just static, yeah.
It's just like this horrible screeching white noise. Anyway.
Yeah, we need to clear up that there's two phones side by side. So somebody put a second phone there that's listening to the other Talking Carl and repeating the Talking Carl.
Yeah, it's something else, man. Worth seeing.
Oh, my gosh.
Spend your time on the internet. That's a great place to find weird stuff.
Yeah. There was another. The first of the two videos I sent was a Google and an Echo, an Amazon Echo. Going back and forth with like who's on first kind of routine.
Oh yeah, I was doing. Oh, I don't want to say the names, but the names of the two devices would keep part of the appointments.
Right. So what you do is you create an appointment and you call it the name of your the name that you give to your Echo, and say what's on my schedule today, and then the OK Google one you do with the same thing. Mm-hmm. OK Google, what's on my schedule today? And then the two of them will just go on forever.
Yeah, they just keep saying it over. I mean, it is literally never ever going to stop. It's a certain kind of hell, actually.
It really is.
So well done on those. They both made me laugh out loud yesterday. Didn't expect that. We have a winner today.
We do.
Yeah, I'm excited about this.
A tough decision, too, is what we had.
We did. The November Film Festival, of course, wrapped up. Brian and I went through the finalists. We both came to the same conclusion that two of them were very hard to pick from.
Yeah, they were all good. We had a lot of really good ones. There was a guy who was chopping wood with Pac-Man noises. There was a Mendoza.
Mm-hmm. That was good.
Digitized Mendoza, like a guy whose visuals turned into bitmappy, and
he was playing like one of those old adventure sort of dungeon castle Wolfenstein sort of things.
Right. There's somebody who sent us Trump singing an R&B song that I don't think was supposed to be for the contest.
Yeah, I got the feeling that was maybe misplaced in there.
I think so too.
Unless he meant it to be, but it was just him singing "Grab Him by the P Word" with him slowly rocking back and forth with a repeated video. And maybe that was for this, but
maybe
We don't
know. Didn't quite fit the theme of If Life Were Like a Video Game, but...
No, it did not.
We did have two... We had two Head & Shoulders, you know, favorites that we both ranked evenly. We even had to pull Daryl in to kind of break the tie.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm happy to say that Ben Newbold's contribution is the winner. Just like I said, by a nose. Mm. And the runner-up is Alex... Kozachuk, probably. His was a basically the point of view of a guy getting up, and it's an Overwatch screen, and it's mm-hmm. you know, doing all the things you get in Overwatch, increasing his health as he drinks coffee, and he's getting ready to sit down for work, and then as soon as he plays TMS, mm-hmm. He's defeated because his productivity is shot.
It's really well timed and made, and
it is.
It's super good. He has to take a dump in the middle of it. It's great.
Yep. The winner, though, Ben Newbold, did that same kind of thing also with, but used Grand Theft Auto top-down view.
Mm-hmm. With the HUD and everything.
With the HUD and everything, and the guy used a drone to do the top-down view.
And the drone doesn't move. It's just sort of hanging out up there. Like it's so good.
And it follows him, like, grabbing a car and pulling the driver out and throwing the driver to the ground. Yeah. It's really, really well done.
Yeah.
The good news is we're going to put both of them up. We're going to put all of our entries up
mm-hmm.
on the TMS Film Fest page. And even though Ben Newbold gets the big prize package, I'm still going to send something to Alex Kozachuk because that was just so good. It deserves a runner-up prize.
Yeah, I think that sometimes we can make that determination.
Yeah, we won't do it every time. Just telling you right now, we're not going to do it every time.
Yeah, don't get your expectations too high. But
so
Drone Theft Auto is our big winner.
That's right.
And here's the thing I want to say about drone photography. When I first saw it, I went, oh, this is so clever. And I wasn't even thinking about how we got the shot.
Right.
Like in my head, I'm just like, oh, this is such a cool top-down view, old school Grand Theft Auto, like the original Grand Theft Auto 1 and 2, mm-hmm. like way before they got to some, you know, 3D world. And it immediately just clicked with me. I'm like, oh, this is great. He's totally nailed it. Pulled a guy out of the car. Guy got up, pulled him back out of the car.
Right.
Like that took some choreography. And honestly, it's a little dangerous what they were doing.
Right.
So that's all I was focused on. And it wasn't until we were done, I went, wait a minute, how did he get the shot?
Right.
And then it hit me. Oh, it's a freaking drone.
Because it's high enough, you're seeing the tops of buildings. I mean, it is perfectly executed cinematography-wise. So that,
and that sound effects, all that.
Just slightly put it over the edge, and that's it.
Yeah, it was really good. The Overwatch one was great, too. And all you guys, thank you so much for your work. The Trump R&B one probably won't be in the list when I do that. But that'll be up later today at frogpants.com/TMSFilmFest. That's the page to go to. And therein will be the link to December's contest
to start
submitting new ones. Brian, this is a surprise to me because I wanted to be surprised.
Yeah.
What's the theme for December?
All right. So the theme for December is introduce a friend to TMS. So here's what we want you to do.
It's a recruit a friend program.
Recruit a friend program.
All right.
We want somebody in your life that has never listened to the morning stream. And we want a little bit of video before, you know, at the beginning of the video. We want a little bit of hearing from them to see what, you know, who they are, how they know you, whatever, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then the video, we want to be a reaction. It could be like them listening to the show and you cut together some of their reactions, rolling their eyes and saying, who is this guy? And what the heck is this? Or oh, that's funny. Or, oh, I get that trivia question, whatever. And then you can give their reaction at the end as well. But we want to see genuine, true, honest reactions from people who've never listened to an episode of TMS in your life.
I'm just going to say right here, people with old people relatives have an advantage.
Oh my God, it's like it's old people react to TMS. Mm-hmm. I just now.
Mm-hmm. It's basically it. So you have an advantage if you've got like some grandma that's going to be freaked out about something.
That's right.
Now, so all right, I like that a lot. That's good.
Now here's the cherry on top of this cake.
All right.
On top of this pie or whatever. I'm going to use a little bit of my Patreon money, mm-hmm. and the winner is going to get. The winner and the person who is featured in the video are each going to get an iPod Shuffle.
Whoa!
Yeah.
That's intense.
Yeah, because I think this could end up being really funny.
Okay. iPod shuffles. That's still a thing, right? You can buy
those? They still make iPod shuffles.
All right. I like this. Yeah. That's pretty good. All right. iPod shuffles on the line. And you have until, let's say the 28th again or something.
We will say because the 31st is a Saturday. So our last show is the 29th. Last show of the year is the 29th.
We'll do that.
Yeah, winners announced then. Have your entries in by, let's say, if we're going to give away the 29th, let's say the 28th is okay. Your last day to get it to us.
All right, 28th.
We'll watch them that night, and we will review them and have a winner the next morning.
Yep, I like it. Your homework is now ahead of you. Again, that's your theme. We will remind you on future shows what that theme is so that there's no confusion. But again, you want to get somebody to watch this that has never heard it or see either watch the YouTube or listen to the podcast, and right. You need to film their reactions. We're not talking about a whole hour and a half of video.
No. It's still, still keeping it to the 30-second film fest rules of like 30 seconds, 45, maximum like 60. But so we want them short, but we want good or bad. We want honest, genuine reactions from your family and friends as to the show that you enjoy. And do they enjoy it? Well, we'll see.
Yeah, I'm going to assume. I'm just going to pretend like we're not doing this so that I don't change the content.
Well, no, of course, yeah.
To match somebody's grandma. So.
Right. Yeah, we're not playing to the blue hairs. We are continuing the format of this show as it always has been and always will be. And
yeah. That's a super good point.
Right. We're not editing.
All right. Well,
now I'm going to get somebody reacting to playing to the blue hairs.
And there's going to be somebody. Yeah, totally, dude. Somebody's going to play that part out loud. You're going
to
see their reaction.
Don't play that part to your grandparents. Jeez, come on now.
But all the penis-y things and stuff, that's fine. Do all that. All right. There you go. Big fun. Loving this thing. It's been fun every month. You guys are doing great work. And it's fun to give stuff away and just fun to see you guys be creative. So thank you for that. All right, let's play a little game. Oh, no, tell me about Straight Out of Arvada.
Last night, Tina and I decided to watch Straight Out of Compton. Yeah. We hadn't seen it. Yeah. And Hammond and I are recording our season finale of Soundography, which is East Coast versus West Coast hip hop. And so we've been listening to nothing but rap in this house for the last couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. And so I'm, I've had to kind of dig in deep, and I thought, well, I might as well watch some good West Coast rap. Not really documentary. What do they call it? A biopic.
Biopic, sure.
And learn about Eazy-E and Dre and Snoop.
Mr. Cube.
Mr. Cube, Ice Sir.
Hey, did
Shug Knight?
I haven't seen it yet, and I hear they really cast it well. But was Snoop Dogg like Snoop Dogg?
Yeah, he was. Before you even heard him say a word, you're like, okay, that's totally Snoop. Mm. And then there was another yell, okay, that's totally Tupac. Mm. It's really, really well done. It's 2.5 hours long, and I'm not a huge, a huge hip hop, I wouldn't say fan. It was never a genre that I got into.
Sure.
But totally loved the movie and been listening to Straight Out of Compton stuff from that era ever since.
F the police coming straight from the underground.
Oh, that plays a big part. Big part.
I had a period of my life where I was hugely into rap. Yeah, that's right. Laugh all you want, but I was. Mm-hmm. And NWA was part of that for sure.
Yeah.
All right, well, good. West Coast meets East Coast. Hope that doesn't end in a bullet like that often does.
I hope not, too. Because I know, Hammond be rolling up in this, and could pop a cap in me.
That's right, dog. Hey, wait, when did this, where did this stream? Did you see it on, was it HBO or where?
Oh, it's on HBO, yeah.
Okay, I need to watch that before they pull it.
Yes, definitely do.
It's time to stump Daryl. This is something we're doing. We're doing it. And
Lots of boobs in it, by the way.
Oh, really?
And
straight,
of boobs.
Straight out of straight out of bra.
Boobs out of boobton.
Boobtown. Got it. 801-895-4724. That's 801-895-4724. I have cleared the lines. All of you early birds can't sneak in here early. I just cleared it. So if you want in, you got to call back. It's 801-895-4724, and then we'll bring Daryl on and do some fun stuff. Let's see who our first caller is. Hi, who's this? Hello?
Hello, this is Nick from Kansas.
Mick, hey, from Kansas. Mick or Nick?
Nick.
Nick with Nick. An N?
I think he's listening to
He's probably hearing us twice.
Delay on the stream rather than listening to us.
Yeah. Is it M as in Mark or N as in Nancy for Nick?
Nancy.
Okay. So like my boy. Well, excellent. It's good to have you here. Kansas, go Chiefs. Are you a football fan?
Not at all.
All right.
Good.
Sweet.
Good.
Sweet.
Then we don't have to bring up that Bronco game.
We don't have to talk about that mess anymore. All right. Well, let's do this thing. I'm going to get Daryl all up in this now. It's his turn to shine, I guess. D-A-R-R. Okay. Can't spell his name. There we go. He's coming in. We're going to play a game. Brian will explain it in a moment. But first, the theme song.
Yeehaw! I'm feeling good today, and I can't even identify why.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for Stump Daryl, brought to you by...
Brought to you by Nerdtacular. I hear we found something more for Nerdtacular than we thought we had. Scott, what is it? Tell us about it.
The seats sold out, but we may have additional seats. I think today I'll have confirmation on this, and if that's true, it's a long story as to why we may have unearthed additional spots, and it could be as many as 100 of them. If that's true, then there will soon be additional tickets available. So all of you who waited a little bit thinking, hey, this usually doesn't sell out right away, and then did, you may still have a chance. So I'll keep you informed. Nerdtacular.com for details when they hit, or you can just follow me on Twitter when I let everybody know, at Scott Johnson. All right, Daryl's on the line. Hi, Daryl.
Hello.
We have you, and we have Nick from Kansas on the line. And he's
Hello, Daryl.
Oh, see, look at this. It's all very friendly.
Hello.
Yes. See, look at this. Everyone's getting along. I like this. Brian, they're going to play a game. I don't know how it works, so you explain it.
Sure. Well, Nick, we're going to be asking Daryl a trivia question here in just a moment. Daryl's going to answer with a number. You know, we could put some letters in there. I don't care, really, because it's going to be wrong either way. But in any case, he's going to answer. Then we're going to look at you. And we're going to be focused on your response to the question, is the real answer higher or lower than what Daryl said? There's really only one way I can explain this game, but I try to flourish it up every single day. Mm. If you are correct in your answer of higher or lower, today you'll win 500 Amazon Space Coins, as well as the digital download for Star Trek Into Darkness.
Ooh, Into Darkness.
That's the one with Benedict Cumberbatch.
Yeah. He's a detective, hell-bent on finding the truth.
He's a master of the mystic arts, trapped in a brig on a spacecraft.
There you have it. All right, well, that sounds like a lovely prize. Daryl, or Brian, what's our topic?
Our topic today is state parks.
State parks. Wow, that sounds boring. State parks, everybody. State parks in the United States. Daryl, how familiar are you with the state parks of this fine nation?
I've been to a few.
Okay. And do you appreciate them for their cleanliness, for their upkeep, for their for your tax dollars hard at work, or what?
Yeah, they're for their beauty and timing of Old Faithful.
Ah, good. That's right. Oh, that's a state. Well, that's a national park, though, right? What's the difference between a state park or a national park? I don't even know.
One is national, the other one is state.
I gotcha. All right.
I think of funding. I think funding for national parks comes from the federal government, whereas
state
parks, right, comes from state, obviously.
Right. Okay. That makes sense.
Okay.
We've learned
in that case
today.
I don't appreciate any fountains of youth or whatever.
All right. Yes, the Fountain of Youth, the great state, one of the great state parks in Washington State, the Fountain of Youth. Doesn't work anymore, but there it is. All right. Daryl, let's get to the question. And here it is without further delay. There are a lot of state parks in the United States. As of 2014, how many of these parks are there? So as of 2 years ago.
Right. Apparently, they don't know. You know, because of the rampant state that these things reproduce. Mm-hmm. They can't keep track of the population of state parks in our country. So
yeah, so they just
the records only go as far as 2014.
Yeah, it's really weird, isn't it?
Until there's a census, and then we'll find out again.
It's very strange. Anyway, how many do you think there are total? In total?
Oh, there's a lot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I would think there's 50 states and the potential for multiple parks per state.
Yeah.
So there's at least 50.
Yeah.
Unless there's a state that doesn't have a park. I don't know.
Oh, there's probably 50 per state at least.
Yeah, probably.
I'm going to say, let's see, I have to do some math.
Okay. It's going to have 47 in it, I'm guessing, somehow.
I was thinking of that.
Hmm. I'm shocked.
Let's see, should I say 47... No.
Million.
4,700? 47,000? Mm-hmm. No. I'm going to say 40? No. Yes. No. I don't know.
This really is the best. It's the best.
Do we already have a topic for today's Therapy Thursday?
Yeah, we're yes.
We're set.
I know, we're set. If we weren't set, we could do this. But
it's just a completely different, you know, unrelated question.
Yeah, it's a good point.
Okay, I think I have a number.
All right.
6,847.
6,847. There's that 47 again.
Yep.
6,847. Brian, is that right?
It is incorrect. Is the actual answer higher or lower than 6,847?
What do you think, Nick?
That seems like a lot of... This is state parks, right? Not national parks?
Yeah.
These are state parks. State. Yep. You know, it's where you go and find your like Pokestops.
Really... Yeah, Pokestops are often state parks. That's true.
I think that seems really high. I'm going to guess lower.
Lower than 6,800 and what was it? 47?
6,847.
All right. Well, let's find out if that is correct or not. Is it lower than that amount? Oh, no.
Oh, no.
So you get nothing.
This is so
you
sad.
Lose.
I really like Nick and his non-fandom of the Chiefs. The incorrect answer is the number we had. It is actually higher. It is 10,234. This is according to the National Association of State Park Directors. Can I just say, what is Iceworm reading all day? Is he just like, you know, today's trivia would be fun?
I gave him this question because I was tired of like the 1 million and 10 million and yeah. 5 billion type questions. I wanted some
reasonable
some
ones.
Thinkers.
Yeah, some ones where the numbers could fudge them a little bit. Yeah.
So thanks for your review of my question.
Good job,
Scott.
Brian. This is an amazing question. If you were worried I didn't like it, you passed the test.
Why I like certain pinball machines.
Oh, why?
Like,
why is
there's
that?
A basketball one mm-hmm. where you can score scores that are below 100 instead of 50 million or whatever.
Well, that's interesting. You know what? This is an interesting thought experiment because I've got this game I've been playing on my phone, mm-hmm. And I've played it before. It's not really a game. It's one of these endless clicker number generator things. But it's called Adventure Capitalist, and it's popular, so a lot of people know about it. It's on PlayStation even, and it's not just mobile. But I'm playing it on mobile, and you just earn, like, insane amounts of money at some point. Right now, I'm at $105.084 trillion for all of my lemonade stands, newspaper stands, car washes, pizza places. I own all these places, right? And this thing just sits here and generates money, and the more I invest in these things, the more money they generate. This isn't anything crazy. People have heard of these before. However, it's really compelling for the first billion. Like before you get to your first $1 billion, when you're still sort of working from the zeros to the millions, it's super compelling. Like, ooh, okay. And you're seeing what seems like reasonable increases in numbers. As soon as you hit that first billion and beyond, it's just a bigger number. Like, it's just a big, dumb number. And I don't know if there's something to learn from that. I feel like there might be. I don't know what it is, but there's something there. So as I stare at it right now, I'm just like, oh, yeah, look at me generating 11.664 million every 0.5 seconds. I don't even care anymore. Like, why do I even care now?
Yeah, at some point it's so high that it's not even really a number anymore.
So what I'm really saying is I'm going out of my way to say that Brian was right to use this question because it taught us something today.
We learned. See, we now know that there are over 10,000 state parks in the United States.
Yeah, we've all learned something.
There's probably 10 within a mile of my house, probably.
Sure. Good Lord. Really?
Mm-hmm.
What's your favorite? Give us a thing. Where should we visit when we come up there?
Oh, let's see. It's probably, I don't know. They're all good.
It's probably, I don't know. They're all good.
Go to one of the ones in the mountains.
Great.
Washington has 186 state parks.
Oh, that's less than I would have expected, actually, mm-hmm. for the whole state.
Oh, that's cool. Somebody found Thorin found a number of state parks in the U.S. by state. Like, in other words, it shows the size of the state as if it were... You know, based on how many, sort of, it's like the size of the state is just a square based on how many state parks they have. And Washington might be one of the largest, actually.
Well, then how is there, only 10,000. I keep thinking it was Daryl's number of 47,000 or whatever.
Right, no, only 186 state parks in Washington.
All right, so Utah's got how many, do we know? I can't tell.
Oh, sure, I can find out. Let's see here.
It looks like about 50.
It does look smaller. Yeah. Then
Colorado's only like a quarter of what we are.
Right, 45 state parks.
Okay. What do you guys have? How about Colorado?
Colorado has 42 state parks.
Oh, well, this is wrong then, the way these squares work.
Yeah, it looks, you know, our states should be a little bit closer.
They should be almost identical.
Now, national parks, I mean, we've got, you know, 415 square miles of Rocky Mountain National Park. Itself.
We have thousands of acres.
Oh, yeah, right. And you guys have, yeah.
Acres and acres and acres, yeah. So that stuff doesn't count. Well, all right, then. Well done, everyone. Daryl, you've done a fine job today. People can find more of your fine work on the internet at The Trek Nerd on Twitter. You know, Twitter, the place I'm trying to avoid lately. Twitter. It's a great place to be. Also, This Week in Trek at thisweekintrek.com. If you like Star Trek, there's a show for you right there. And at The Grumpy Cast for grumpy people. Hey, got a game for us today? What do you got there?
Well, yes, I'm going to read part of a query that I've entered into YouTube.
YouTube?
You complete the phrase and win nothing.
All right. It was hard to tell which the live Daryl or the recorded Daryl.
Really crazy, yeah.
Yeah. All right. Give it to us. Lay it on us.
Mice eat blank.
Well, you're close. Well, no, you're not. Well, no, you're not close.
All right.
Penis blank.
Penis blank? Daryl's at work. Penis blank.
Penis blank.
The Adventures of Penis Blank, brought to you by Lucky Strike Cigarettes. I'm going to say...
this is the episode that people are going to be playing for their relatives, isn't it?
Yeah. Penis blank.
That sounds good. Accidents. Just like that.
Penis accidents?
Penis accidents. I figure that's what somebody's going to go searching for on YouTube. Is,
yeah. Penis. Penis. Penis shape. I got it. Penis shaped logos.
Oh, okay. That's good too.
Yeah. People like that. That's a funny thing for people.
The real actual number one result, well, at least the other day, was Penis Parker gets a cookie.
Penis Parker gets a cookie?
Yes.
Wait a minute. Okay.
Hey,
he's
hold on.
A, he's right. And what? Peter Parker, but they say Penis Parker. Okay, hold on. Chat room, I'm playing it. I'm playing it for you. Okay, there's Spider-Man.
It's me, Penis Parker, your friendly neighborhood, you know. I've come a long way from being the boy who loved pizza time.
All right, so somebody just edited it. It's your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man, a.k.a. Penis Parker. Great.
Okay.
Well, all right then. Daryl, you've ruined my life today. Well done. Goodbye. Let's, I don't even know where to go from that. Let's play this.
Television highlights of the news of yesteryear.
It's the news brought to you by...
Patreon.com. Let me try that again. Brought to you by Patreon.com/TMS. It's your best way to support what we do here day after day for your entertainment.
Oh, is it? Yeah, it is.
We learned it from you.
We learned it from you, Dad. I learned it from you. Nick's doing that all the time now. I made the mistake of mentioning it and telling him what it meant, and right. Now he does it all the time.
I'll bet he does.
I'll say, what's wrong? Why is your room such a mess? You told me you'd clean it up. I learned it from you, Dad. I learned it from you. He'll say. He thinks he's real
funny. That's
awesome.
It's probably the greatest response to anything he can give.
He thinks it's real funny. The error to the fiat fortune, or the FF, as it's known in circles of renown.
He's got to be a little tiny guy, right?
Little tiny Fiat man.
Yeah.
Because those cars are tiny. I kind of like those, if I'm going to be
like
honest.
I like Fiats. Oh, sure.
I think they're cool. Mm-hmm. He stands accused of falsely claiming he had been kidnapped by a transgender prostitute in New York. That sounds pretty salacious.
Okay.
Lapo Elkin. That's his name. Lapo Elkin. Called
it's got to be an anagram for something.
Yeah, it has to be, right?
Yeah.
Let's see. I'm trying to do one in my head and I can't. It's impossible for me. I can't do it. I have whatever the reverse of dyslexia is. I have reverse dyslexia.
Plain cone.
Plain cone. Plain cone.
Plain cone.
Called his family in New York to demand $10,000 ransom, quote, to guarantee his safety, unquote, according to a U.S. official. But having found him in Manhattan, investigators now believe he concocted the entire story after he ran out of money following a drink and drugs binge.
Wow.
A drink and drugs binge.
Drink and drugs binge. That is a tough, that's a tongue twister right there.
The binges of Madison County. The grandson of Fiat's Gianni Angeli is now due in court in January. Mr. Elkin, who was arrested on a misdemeanor charge of falsely reporting an incident, had only arrived in the U.S. last week. The Italian had told his Instagram followers he was going abroad to pursue, quote, a lot of projects in development, a lot of new ideas, unquote, in a rambling video posted on Thursday. He dressed in a bright red suit, said the business trip would bring him into contact with many very interesting characters, unquote. I don't know what that means.
I don't know what that means either.
He's going to go to Vegas and run into minions on the street. I don't know what it means.
Many interesting characters.
Too much hassle. Mr. Elkin dressed in ours said that. Instead, media reports in the U.S. and the Italy say the 39-year-old spent 2 days with the woman before calling his family in order to get more money.
That's funny.
They do not say who the woman is. Well, is this the person that
he claims? The transgender prostitute.
Oh, the one he claimed had kidnapped him.
Yep.
All right. Well done.
Yeah.
And
it's like Fargo.
It is like Fargo. It reminds me of Fargo. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well done. Totally. That's totally accurate there. I was trying to think, what does this remind me of? It's totally a season of Fargo.
Yep. Or Big Lebowski, you know, faking your own kidnapping to extort money from your family.
Yeah. The heck you mean?
The heck you mean? I am cooperating, Wade.
A woman calls police to report man who wouldn't stop whistling Semisonic's Closing Time. You know the song.
I know who I want to take me home. I know who I want to take me home tonight.
Well, an Oregon woman, as I like to say, called the cops after a man allegedly refused to stop obnoxiously whistling Closing Time by Semisonic, according to a local police log. I love the idea of a local police log for some reason.
Right, right. They're just, they're just keeping track of it.
Yeah. Authorities in Forest Grove said the woman allegedly told the man to shut up when he insisted on whistling the timeless classic near her driveway on Saturday. Would you call it a timeless classic?
I really like that song. I really like Semisonic. I like their previous band, Trip Shakespeare. I like the stuff that Dan and Matt Wilson have done since. Mm.
Do you like that song is played at the end of every like final episode or something?
No.
MTV?
I don't like that?
Okay. I don't like that either. It says this here. The song includes the lyric, I hope you have found a friend, and yet it seems this was not true in this case, according to Captain Mark Herb of the Forest Grove Police Department.
Did Mark Herb really come up with that? You know, the song has the lyric, I hope you found a friend, but it seems it wasn't true in this case. Like Mark Herb came up with that, or they came up with that and just kind of attributed it to Mark Herb.
Is it Mark Herb or Mark Herb?
Herb. Mark Herb.
Mark Herb. Says this, though. Herb told told Time magazine, it's not clear if the caller would have been more or less upset if it was a different genre or whether it was just the talent lacking in the whistling. Boy, these are really the important issues of our day.
I had a boss for a while, actually. It was the same boss at the those preprint figures. I can mm-hmm. have him if I could just use your phone. The mm-hmm. same boss at that company who would, the only song he would ever whistle was the opening of I Can't Turn You Loose by Sam and Dave.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And that's the one that they, you know, it's like the Blues Brothers. Da 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 da.
Wow.
And he would play, he would whistle that incessantly.
That's super annoying.
Yeah.
Here's this if people don't know.
The new health and fitness section? I'm not sure, but I'll find out if I can use your phone.
It's such a high voice then.
If I could just use your phone.
If I could just borrow your phone. I'm talking Carl.
All right, there's that. A mum or mom. They say mum in the UK. You know, if you have a mum, you call her a mum.
Queen mum. Mm-hmm. Right.
Sure, why not? Oh, I want to see that Crown show. Every time someone says something about the Queen, it makes me want to just like break down and binge that damn thing. Anyway, a mother hauled off to emergency school meeting because 5-year-old daughter can't stop laughing at a teacher's name.
Oh, no.
Furious mom was hauled into an emergency school meeting because of this. Little Annalise Turumalai. I'm going to laugh at her name.
Yeah, see?
Told her mom she couldn't stop giggling every time she heard the words Miss Butt. This is a good article for my son, Nick.
It's a perfect article for your son, yeah.
Yeah, he might like this.
Miss Butt. Oh, by the way, why wouldn't you change your name?
That reminds me, I need some advice, everybody. Here's some advice, okay? Nick doesn't know I'm saying this, so.
Okay, all right.
Let's pretend he doesn't hear us.
All right, really close here. Yeah.
So there's this new girl moved in across the way. Her name is, I forgot. Crap. It's a cool name, though. Sizemore? No. Symmetra? I don't know. Something. I forgot her name all of a sudden. What's wrong with me? Oh, no. Anyway,
This is just a friend of his?
All right.
You're getting to that.
Yeah,
okay.
So she's 16. She's his age. She's very cute. Like, beautiful girl. And one of the other things that I think Nick likes about her, I mean, he was immediately like, whoa, look at her. Like, he was so psyched to meet her, okay? Mm-hmm. And I think one of the reasons is she dresses like she's in the 19... It's a weird thing. One day she'll look like she's in the 1940s. Mm-hmm. Hair and everything.
Really? Okay.
Next day she looks like she's in 1988. Next day she looks like she's in the mid-60s. Like, she's super into these old decades.
Maybe she's a time traveler.
She might be. She might be. She looks like an actress. She's very, very pretty. Huh. And has just a great way about her. She's super confident. I always trust Nick's friends and girlfriends and these people when they can look me in the eye when I talk to them.
Sure.
When they're nervous and, like, shuffling their feet, then I'm always like, are you hiding there, chief? Mm-hmm. Right? But not her. She's super confident in all this stuff. She used to live in Finland for a while, so she's super, like, she knows, like, 3 languages. Like, she's super smart and all this stuff. Very pretty. She doesn't eat meat. She, in fact, refuses to eat meat, which is kind of a problem because Nick loves meat, but whatever. So there's all that. And she's the one showing the most initiative here. So Nick's not normally one to go, I will ask her out on a date. He doesn't really do that.
Right.
He'll kind of hang out, and you know how teenagers are or whatever.
Sure.
She comes over yesterday and says, Nick, let's go to that new Korean place up the street. And Nick's like, okay.
Wow, teenagers like saying, let's go get some Korean food. That's cool, too.
Well, this place just opened, and it's just down the road, so it seemed like a smart thing. So they went down there and had a little dinner date and then came home and hung out here and watched an episode of Stranger Things downstairs and talked to us for a long time, help us decorate the tree. She loves our snake, Norman, so she's holding this big ball python all night and going, I wish my mom would let me have a snake. I used to have a turtle when I was a kid. Like, it was telling us all these stories. Anyway, here's my advice, or here's my question for the advice.
Sure.
She is pretty rad, but I shouldn't be nervous that she's so with it, right? Like, nervous.
No, you definitely shouldn't.
I shouldn't, right? Like, I don't.
Every guy at some point in their life And it's usually who you marry, but finds a woman that is kind of like the pull you out of your shell, kind of the take charge of the relationship, whether it's a friendship or a romantic relationship, and just is kind of like the, hey, let's go do this. Come on. And and kind of pulls a guy out of his shell.
Yeah.
And sounds like this is...
She might be that.
She might be that. Yeah. I think you do whatever you can to make sure...
So you hang hang on to this one, maybe.
Exactly.
All right. I mean, listen, it's not that you just think about what your kids are up to and you want to make sure they're happy and healthy and doing okay. And when it comes to relationships, I don't know what that sound was. I apologize. Whatever that came out of my throat. you know, all of those things matter. So I'm used to these kind of quieter girls that are all just nervously looking at him. He has this thing, though, where everyone thinks Nick's the good looking kid. He doesn't think this about himself. He thinks he's just a dope.
Perfect.
But all the girls are just all the time about Nick.
That's what makes him attractive.
Is
being attractive and not thinking you're attractive.
Yeah, girls love that. Because
it's the guys who know they're attractive that makes them less attractive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, totally. He's got friends that are like, can't get a date because they're just, they're good looking kids, but they're just douche buckets.
Because they're 80s James Spader.
Yeah, there you go. 80s James Spader, while he is 80s... redhead guy from
80s Andrew McCarthy.
All right, there you go. That's good. The comparisons are apt. And she would and what's funny is she would like those comparisons because she loves 80s movies.
Oh my gosh.
She's way into that stuff. In fact, I'm sitting there playing stuff. We're trying to get music playing, and I said to Kim, I said, "Hey Kim, how about some techno Christmas music?" And
is her mom like, available? I'm just asking for a friend.
Well, she is divorced, her mom. She's available. So we were playing some stuff, and I was looking through my playlist, and she goes, "Ooh, Frank Sinatra." I said, "Yeah." She goes, "Oh, play Frank Sinatra. I love Frank Sinatra." I'm like, "Holy crap, dude! This girl."
Wow.
So anyway,
either that or she's just done her research and she knows the buttons to push for Scott Johnson.
Yeah, maybe she like there's like the parents, a future right? if I'm gonna warm up to parents of a future mate or whatever.
Yeah,
perhaps this is my way in. Who knows?
I'm kidding. Ask, you know, Eddie Haskelling you. You're getting Haskelled.
I'm getting totally Haskelled. Too much Haskell.
That's right.
Also, her little brother looks like Bill Gates. And I mean the spitting freaking image.
Really?
And they lived in Washington for a while, which is kind of funny, near Redmond. Oh. But he has the same curly mop hair. He has the exact same glasses. He has the exact same face structure. He is 10-year-old Bill Gates. It's the That's weird. Crazy. And he's super nerdy and knows tons of stuff. He's an awesome kid. Anyway, there's that. There's that story.
That's awesome. Wow. Yeah. Tell him to hang on to her. Is she the one that you posted a photo of a girl asking Nick out with a big old sign with a bunch of references to Overwatch?
That's his other friend, Morgan, who's they're like best friends, but they've also on and off sort of girlfriend, boyfriend. But for the most part, they've been sort of best friends. She's different, but meaning she's not this girl. She's not different. She's a total sweetheart. But here's the thing. Now, I also expect there to be drama from this. Because I think these are two girls who really like Nick. Despite whatever level of friendship it may actually be.
Right.
There's a big crush on both sides. And I am not looking forward to this. Neither will Nick because he hates this kind of stuff.
It's not going to end well on one side of the equation. Yeah.
And it's not like he's a player at all. He's not any of those things. There's no like, oh, I'm dating one and not telling the other. It's not like that. It's just I know how high school age girls and boys can get. And there could be a little, you know. That was my fist hitting each other.
Yeah, I don't know what. Okay.
I don't want to imply anything else. That's just my fist.
I'm with the other audio listeners like, well, there could be what?
No, that was my fist pounding each other like there would be conflict. I'm glad I cleared that up. And I'm glad that you brought it to my attention. Yeah. Okay. Everybody hold your thoughts. Hold on to your butts. Stand down because it's time for this. A fresh cup of coffee in the morning can be terrible. It could also be great. Why not make it always great? I've got a way for you to do that, and that's through StayRoasted.com, delivering 100% specialty-grade coffee beans, hand-selected to your tastes and delivered fresh. Here's how simple it is. You go to the website and set your preferences and let your roasters handle the rest. Your roasters. Not my roasters, not somebody else's. Yours. You pick from dozens of American top craft roasters, and then you put them in your personal roaster lineup. You might call them a roaster roster. And they just send this stuff straight to you. And once you've gotten your stuff and you've had it, you're like, man, this only cost me like 60 cents a brewed cup. That's insane. And there's no commitments. I didn't have to sign a year contract. No, you did not. Try it for yourself. Visit stayroasted.com/stream and get your first bag of coffee for free. You only pay shipping. That's a free bag of coffee. Your choice of coffee, by the way, too. It's not just some random one. For free. Just pay the shipping. That's stayroasted.com/stream. They also have gift cards available. So if you're still trying to get that perfect gift for somebody, why, I've got another great idea for you. It's stayroasted.com/stream. Do it today. Sing me a song.
I will. Well, how about if I let somebody else sing this?
All right,
thanks to Bada Bing Records, the brand new album from Jen Grant. It's called Paradise. It doesn't come out till March 3rd, and you're going to get to hear a song from it right now. This is awesome. This is the song Galaxies, produced by her husband, Daniel Ledwell. They took a year in their home studio to record this album. It is the follow-up to her 2014 album, Compostela, which earned her 2 Juno nominations in Canada, where she's from, for both songwriter as well as contemporary album of the year. So, I mean, she's got some chops, and you're going to hear it right here in this song from her brand new album coming out next year called Paradise. Here's Jen Grant and Galaxies.
Running through the tricks of time, out on the road, screaming like my lungs on fire. Do you see me laughing with my love wired? Thought made of everything that's in a tie. Why not we made up? Crisscrossing out of luck. Tears keep falling. I say my dreams are out of touch. Forever and lucky for us, my baby keeps me on the good stuff. That shines in the heat. Call me home. that shines, and I hear you calling me home.
Oh no, you missed that putt again. You probably don't have enough time to practice. You can have more time to practice your putting with the Potty Putter. When you're bored in the bathroom, you rush, and that's unhealthy.
Pocket Burger.
Listen very carefully, for I shall only say this once.
You are listening to the Morning Stream!
Pocket Burger.
Yeah, Pocket Burger.
Pocket Burger.
All right, great. Stop it.
Pocket
okay,
Burger.
Okay, Pocket Burger. We're back. Hey, Luke in the chat room. I don't like any of your music either, man. Hey, listen, though. I was actually going to say, and I was going to say this before he said anything. This is, might be my favorite indie in the middle you've played. I freaking love that.
Yeah, I really like her voice. Yeah. Really, really cool song.
Super good, man.
He says, it's not that I don't like it. I'm just more used to the talk portion, and the music kind of doesn't fit in well with the talk part. Well, actually, you'll like this because in the new year, Scott and I have actually been talking about changing up the format of TMS a little bit so that we sing the entire time.
Mm-hmm.
And that way it's a smoother transition into the music.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what we were thinking.
Yeah. So it's funny. We're kind of on the same wavelength, Luke.
Don't forget to like and subscribe, and we'll see you guys next week. All right. I think I'm ready for this.
You ready
we
for
love
this?
You, Luke.
I'm ready for this.
You ready for this?
Yeah, we love you, Luke. We don't know you, but we love you.
You ready for
we're
this?
Ready. We're right. ready for this.
We're ready for this. All right, let's do. See, we're already singing. It's already 2017. It's Wendy time. Let's get her in here. She's probably wondering where we are. In fact, I bet I have a text from her. Because we're running a tiny bit late. Oh, no, she hasn't yet. That's fine. Let's get her in here. Whoops. Oh, I didn't hang up on you. Whew.
Whew. No, I'm still here.
Whew. I thought I did. I thought I done hung up on you, Brian. I thought I done hung up the phone on you. But anyway, we'll get her in here and we'll see what's up. We'll see what's going on.
Hello.
First side of the planet. Oh, hi, Wendy. Hello?
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Hello.
How are you?
I'm fine.
Can you hear us okay?
America calling. Are we reaching?
Are we reaching? Is America?
Hello, America.
Oh, hello. Everything's fine over here. We promise. It's not so bad. Everything's great. what's going on there? How are you? How was Thanksgiving in a foreign land?
That's great.
Yeah?
I saw the food looked good. Well, you know, the turkey is 9 pounds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it feeds not so many people.
Yeah, I imagine so.
Great.
Is it actual turkey you had?
Oh, yeah.
All right. You didn't do like lutefisk or whatever?
No, we had a turkey, but it's small.
Yeah.
So the transition hasn't fully happened if you're describing it as pounds, because you would normally do like it's 42 kilograms or something like that.
Yeah, you still.
Yeah, but I know my audience.
You're still doing imperial over there?
I'm able to translate.
Oh, we're gonna get a bunch of angry Europeans that are like, we're the audience too.
Are we the like when you're talking to? Americans, is that the only time you'll switch into imperial units, or do you use them at home, like just when it's the four or five of you there?
Well, you know what's interesting is my kids, of course, in school are only learning the metric system, so I'll have them translate for me. Sometimes I'll be like, okay, it's like this long, and they're like, okay, that's 4 meters. I'm like, oh, yeah. Okay.
If anything, we're like multilingual, because when I was growing up, and I think you too, they
like
told
that,
us both. They told us both of them. They said, here's this, and here's the meters, and the centimeters, and the millimeters, and the whatnot. And now, like I've stated before, with a lot of the work I do, it's all metric for me. Like
it's all metric for most people who do anything that's, like, all medicine is metric, all... Mm-hmm. It has to be.
Yeah, it has to, yes, exactly. So
what is the other system? What are we doing?
I don't know.
Other than...
I don't know.
You say someone's 6'9", I know what that means.
Yeah, that's true. The height thing I do feel like is hard to change, because once you get used to that, saying I'm 2 meters tall just sounds funny.
Sounds weird.
Yeah, but listen, it's and also the Fahrenheit Celsius thing. Really, yeah. Really jacks people up, because it doesn't sound so hot anymore when you say, oh, it's 32 degrees Celsius.
Don't get me started on Kelvin.
Yeah, forget about the Kelvins and how many joules it takes to get this podcast off the ground. Anyway, well, happy remote Thanksgiving. I'm glad it went well, and those pictures look nice. Look like everybody was doing just fine.
Yes. And how was your Thanksgiving, everyone?
It was lovely here.
It was really good, yeah.
Except for the horrible stomach virus that Kim and I had the day and day after of Thanksgiving. So other than that, it was fine. That's usually a thing that happens, you know, after, well, when you're like around a bunch of family and they bring some weird disease with them.
Right.
Like, like that one trip, Wendy, you guys took to Atlanta, I guess it was, or something. And the whole
Puke
place.
Fest 2004.
Yeah, Puke Fest 2004. This was like that, except just Kim and I. And the neighbor, like the whole neighborhood's sick, but the kids never got it. So we don't know what happened there. But anyway,
it's other
than
adult that, virus. That's awesome.
Adult virus. All right, let's get into this. We're going to do Therapy Thursday. It's where my sister Wendy, who now lives in Sweden, used to live here, is a therapist. She is one, but she comes on the show and spares a bit of her time on Thursdays since the inception of this show to help people with their real problems. I couldn't find a new one this week of that we could use anyway. And Wendy,
nobody had any like drama at their Thanksgiving that they wanted to write in about.
Surprising.
Not one. In fact, I didn't have any, which I was sure I was going to have drama at my Thanksgiving on Kim's side, and we had zero. So that, other than the fried turkey was really good, and I'd never had one before. But yeah, outside of that. So man, I wonder if you'd have fried a 9-pound turkey, how small that would have shrunk.
Oh, it would be like a raisin something sandwich. Yeah.
Turkey jerky.
Yeah. A little piece of
turkey jerky.
There's a little turkey, the turkey. Yeah. You could make enough for a single sandwich later.
I have to say something funny though. This is very true in my line of work is I will get a lot more calls and emails like just after Thanksgiving, like the Monday after. As well as like January 2nd, I get a ton of calls.
So why I understand the January one because you're in the throes of winter, things start to get kind of depressing. The new year's ahead of you. You just had to do your tax stuff has to be figured out. Now, like I can think of all the reasons why January would suck, but why just post Thanksgiving?
Well, I think it's because you were with your family that you hadn't been with for a year.
That might be it. Yeah.
Or whatever. And suddenly, you get all triggered and you're like, oh, I better get an appointment before things get out of hand. And anyway, it's really funny.
It's an opportunity to dig up old wounds for sure.
Yeah, because it's all of a sudden your wounds are all staring in your face over the turkey.
Let me tell you, so we had an early Thanksgiving at Misha's, right? My sister and my Korean sister, I should say.
You identify her.
Yeah, we have to make sure to push them in their little corner. Yeah, the Koreans versus the whites in our family.
Good job.
So we were over there having Thanksgiving, and it was very traditional and fun and nice. And Misha always hosts a great little party, and Kim did games, and we had all these prizes and stuff, and it was great. And but here's what happens at every get together now that you are in Sweden. Here's the exact. I'm giving you the exact template. I come in. I hug Ken. I say hi to his kids. Oh, Thatcher, what's going on? Hey, we should play Overwatch. Yeah, dude, this and that. And then I meet new girlfriends or boyfriends of nieces and nephews are all showing up with all these like potential people they may marry because they're all getting that age and stuff. And it's all great. And then Mom will show up. And the first thing out of Mom's mouth is, well, I guess Wendy, I don't know what they do over there for Thanksgiving over there in Sweden. I don't know how you even manage it. And it's always that. It's always Wendy's in Sweden and Mom wishes you were there every time.
I'm sorry.
No, it's not. Listen, we'll take that bullet for you. But it's just it's now the new tradition. And I should also say Wendy and I did our proxy. She had to use Carter as a proxy, or I used Carter as your proxy. For pulling the wishbone.
We had somebody in the chat room and asked about this, so I'm glad you're bringing it up.
Yep, we did a wishbone on last Thursday.
And let me tell you, the video, if you've seen it, is maddening. This is why I would not have picked Carter. I love her. She is bright, but she's
new to this.
She's not what I need.
Yeah, she's
not a pro. Yeah. She's not a pro at the wishbone.
She's not the person you would have called off the bench to replace you when you got injured.
No way. And as I'm watching her place her fingers, I'm yelling no.
No.
That's how
hired.
This is how competitive this gets. Like even remotely.
I love it.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
So I won, but only because whatever. I mean, next year we'll see.
So I did my little 9-pound turkey wishbone with my kids. Mm-hmm. And this thing is tiny. Yeah. By the way, a 9-pound bird is a tiny wishbone.
Yeah.
And I won, and Abe's like, you always win. I'm like, yeah, don't even mess with me. I was not a nice mom about it because I was mad about Carter.
I can explain it to him. I can say, look, let's just you and I have a conversation about your mother. I know what's up here. It's fine. Just let her win. Let the Wookiee win, as we learned in Star Wars. All right. Well, let's get to it. Here's the question that you got. This came to you. Mm-hmm. And I'll just read it. There are no names here. I'll just read it as it came. Hi. My wife and I have recently been struggling with handling the anxiety and panic that some people experience when thinking about death. We are both atheists and do not believe in any form of afterlife. Do you have any advice or suggestion on how to handle the existential panic that can come with such thoughts? I don't know about other people, but for me, these episodes of panic can last for days, even weeks, where I'm living in a constant state of dread. Any advice you may have would be helpful to both me and my wife. Thank you. All right. So here we have an atheist couple who is stressed about death, a very human thing, I think. Mm-hmm. Our imperative is to survive at whatever cost possible, and when survival is either presented to you as temporary or ephemeral, you suddenly go, oh no, I have to face death just like any other person, including the religious, and it's really not all that different. That's my take anyway. So what do you tell people like this? And I'm sure this is nothing new. This has to be a thing people deal with.
Right? Yeah, it is. I think there's some special stuff here, though, that I didn't have time to email him and her and get answers to. But so if he's in the chat room, it'd be great to know how old you are.
Further questions you have?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How old you are? How long you've been married? And it seems like no kid kind of situation. I thought maybe they'd mention a kid if they had a kid. Mm-hmm. And any other sort of generalized anxiety problems, because weeks and weeks of dread and sort of that level of worry and angst is maybe not, it sounds like he gets triggered and then he thinks about it and it lasts weeks and weeks and weeks. And this isn't something he's resolved. It's not like a one-time thing, is what I get the sense of. Is he generally anxious about certain things? Because one thing with anxiety that, and this is why I wonder, is anxiety will change positions in your brain. Mm-hmm. It doesn't literally move in your brain, but it's like, oh, you're afraid of that thing? Okay, now I've worked that out. Okay, I'm moving on to something else. Anxiety will always find something to latch onto. Mm-hmm. So anxiety itself is the thing, not the thing it's latching onto. But the way we experience it is, you know, food coloring is the scariest thing that's ever come about, and I'm focused on that, and it's going to kill us all, and et cetera. And then, okay, I'm okay with food coloring. It's going to move to something else.
Now it's planes or something like that.
Yeah, and yeah. So it moves around. So that's how you know when it is more of an anxiety thing. So, of course, he didn't answer that, and I didn't ask that. So, But if that is the case, and there is a anxiety component to this that's sort of more general and moves around in your life, then you get your anxiety treated. But he's saying this as like this, it's together. They're both feeling it at the same time. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's lots of things that.
And it could be that because one of them's feeling anxious about it, the other person naturally experiences that secondhand anxiety.
Sure. Especially if you're like a empathetic partner, mm-hmm. and you tend to pull these things onto yourselves. Like, you know, I tend to do that. When Kim's sick, I feel terrible about it. When she was pregnant, I had a huge stomach ache, you know, dumb stuff like that.
I got fat.
Yeah, I got all fat. I gave birth to a baby.
When you asked a minute ago about like if they had kids, is that, I'm guessing, is that because not having children might mean you feel more about about death being kind of being the final thing? Like, I don't have any sort of legacy to carry on past this. And
right. And the reason I wondered that, first of all, it's something that when people have existential dread and have children, is kind of a different case than without children, like you're referring to, is mm-hmm. this, I've left a legacy, feel like there's a part of me here still behind. That's, mm-hmm. a lot of people have children just for that very reason. And then the other real thing about this, in fact, I dove down a deep existentialism hole preparing for this.
All right.
'Cause sometimes I just like, oh yeah, what does that actually mean? Mm-hmm. And of course, it's a philosophy that it goes much deeper and it's much different than how we use it in popular terms. We say, oh, I'm having an existential crisis, or I have existential dread. And there's a whole lot more that goes into this. But one of the things about it is that the purpose and meaning of life is not about anyone else besides your own person. Mm. And there's a real focus on authenticity and existentialism. Mm. It's a whole philosophy. This isn't just a, oh no, what's going to happen after we die? Anyway, and as I was reading it, I was realizing, okay, so this purposeness is an interesting thing. So people will find purpose in religion. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that he's saying we're atheists, so we don't have purpose in a religious sense. But I think there's atheists who probably would say, no, I do.
Whatever. Yeah, a lot of people would say that. I know I have atheist friends who would say that. To me, it's interesting to say we're atheists, so we don't have a safety net.
Right.
That's kind mm-hmm. of the impression I got from the message. I'm not mm-hmm. trying to put words in their mouth, but that jumped out at me when you sent me this, and I went, oh, that's interesting to sort of make that disclaimer as if that's part of the problem.
Right. And you know? And it could be they were raised in religious backgrounds, with religious backgrounds, which is the framing of this whole question. Mm-hmm. What happens after I die? Well, my family believes this thing, but I don't believe that thing. So I'm void of belief versus, yeah, I do believe something. I think it ends when I stop breathing. But it gets back to this fundamental question of purpose. Mm-hmm. So that is what's being rocked. That's the angst. The angst of, I have this tension between what I believe happens after this. I can't say, well, in heaven, I will have a mansion or whatever, you know. Yeah. People have their versions of what will come, and that gives them purpose to do good on the, you know, on earth, or it gives them purpose to get up every day or whatever it may be for certain people. But atheist or not or whatever, it doesn't matter. Everyone has this, maybe at different moments, sometimes in big moments. And if this is not generalized anxiety for either of them, let's just say it's right now is their moment, right? Mm-hmm. So a couple of things to ask themselves. Well, you know, no one's going to give me their whole life backstory here, but it'd be interesting. Is there economic uncertainty for them? Mm. Is there some kind of family situation that's occurred recently, a death or an accident or something that makes life feel... Yeah, kind of meaningless, or mm-hmm. like a good person just got screwed somehow. And, you know, that's hard to feel like there's justice. And, you know, so then this sort of purpose of what I'm doing gets called into question in these moments. So the actual philosophy of existentialism, I can't say that word, is this idea of finding purpose, but it's within oneself. So mm-hmm. Someone can find it through religion. Someone can find it through legacy and having children and family. Someone else can find it through the work that they do. Others can, et cetera. But this idea is actually that you find it within yourself. You don't have another person telling you what your purpose is or giving you ideas about how you should feel about everything. It's that you come to it by being your authentic self and finding that out. So that's what I would ask them. What is your purpose in life? Like, what are you into? What brings you meaning and hope and all sorts of good stuff? And if none of that's there, well, you know, maybe it's time to figure out some of that. You know, I think we develop. I mean, it's normal developmental milestones to have various things happen. And I think existential dread is really one of the things everyone's going to go through. Mm-hmm. You can be the strongest believer in some belief about an afterlife, but you will have moments that you wonder if any of it's true or real, or what am I going to do? Right. Mm-hmm. But no one's telling you that. Like, that's the thing they're probably not hearing from your, you know, very devout mother or something. But it's real if people are honest with themselves that they have those moments.
Sometimes you see it at their end of life. Like, you'll see,
right.
I remember our grandmother, for the first time I'd ever seen her sort of soften her staunch stance on her particular, you know, direction or whatever.
Yeah.
Was in her final hours. Yeah. Like, you just started to see this, like, sort of, I don't know, like this, it was a weird change. In her case, I think it was actually kind of positive.
Right.
But it's the same thing. It's kind of like, well, I'm here now. I can't just rely on me and a room full of cackling ladies that agree with each other to make me feel okay. Like, you have to, you know, you have to just sort of face it alone. Even you may have people there, but you're still sort of facing this thing alone.
Right. Yeah. And that the more we hold dogmatically to anything can sometimes mean the fear of the other, thinking through the other way is just too much. So they're looking around going, people are so lucky, right? They just know what they know and they feel secure in the thing they're doing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they're not probably not going to see what's real for everybody. And there are definitely people who, you know, they have their faith and they hold on to it and nothing seems to change, and good for them. But this, first of all, I'm saying this, so don't, you're not alone. This is really common. Mm-hmm. And I do think there's things that precipitate this occurrence, and it could be some of those things. I mean, we just did have an election that, you know, I think rocked a few people. Mm-hmm. And I think there's people wondering about their purpose or their, you know, it's easy to just go, what am I supposed to do? You know? Mm-hmm. And so this is my answer to this. And I...
And by the way, it's so funny how it's so, my experience has been how broad it actually is. It doesn't just, so like the fact that we elected a circus peanut to the White House isn't the problem so much with what you're talking about.
I love circus peanuts.
I do too. I don't want to besmirch circus peanuts. Okay. But, you know, this idea that we did this, for some, it's really bothersome just on the face of it, right? And so they're dealing with that. And then this whole question of, oh my gosh, I thought we were different than this, or, you know, they start questioning who they are and what they are and where do they belong and mm-hmm. all that. But that has a way of making, so let's say I've had this experience recently with people who are staunch supporters of Trump's message and helped get him in and were voting for him and support him. And they have a very different version of this because they're seeing a lot of people, including friends of theirs, who are feeling this angst, feeling this existential dread about a thing that happened. And now they're feeling a sense of insecurity because the foundation of their relationships were shaken by this. Whether mm-hmm. or not you support them or not, that still has an effect on you. So they spend a lot of time going, it's fine, he's just talking, it's fine. I know he said he wasn't going to do that, but it's fine, it's fine. And like they're doing a lot of that. And I'm not saying they're trying to, you know, cover for their bad mistake. Maybe some are. I'm saying that to them, it wasn't a mistake. It was the right thing. But my point is they still get hit by the same kinds of anxieties because you can't avoid it.
It's contagious.
Yeah, it's all over the place. Whether you agree with the reasons for them or not, you're still going to have them. And that's hard to admit, you know?
It is. And you know, for them, maybe it's not political at all. But it doesn't mean the vibe in their general neighborhood isn't politically disturbed a little bit. It's just, to me, and maybe I'm fully projecting my own crap on this, but I think that it's, you know, let's say it's some of that, maybe it's some economic thing. Maybe it's something that happened in their community that's horrible that, mm-hmm. you know, occurred, or there was a fire or whatever. You have a general, sort of, we're one organism to some extent, right? Mm-hmm. We empathize with each other. We connect with each other, or we feel those things. And so it has an impact. So it could be why it's worse right now, or there could be other reasons, but here's the answer. And the answer is the thing that's also the answer to the Trump presidency in my mind.
All right.
And that is this amazing idea of social capital. Mm. So economists study this all the time about, you know, we have our fiscal capital, we have our infrastructure, we have our, you know, brain stuff, we have money, we have whatever it is that we measure to say, wow, look how well this society is doing. And what social capital is it's our interconnectivity, right? And they've measured this, you know, Norway has the highest rates of, well, how you measure social connectivity is basically if people trust each other, right? Mm. So in Norway, 70% of Norwegians, there's a Norwegian word. Norwegians, there we go. Norwegians. Sure. Sorry.
What's Norwegians? The Norwegian word for someone from Norway?
What is that Norwegian word? Anyway, that they, you know, their rate is 70% of people trust each other there. Mm-hmm. And in the United States is something not so great, like 30 or 40. Yeah. And then you go to like South Africa or there's some other countries that are down to 5-7, mm-hmm. some South American countries as well. And so you have this huge gap. Like, why do these people trust each other more and why don't those trust each other more? And what it comes down to, the research seems, you know, it's clear on this and it kind of feels obvious, even though I hate it. It's that the more diverse a country is, the harder people have to work to trust each other and connect. And that's because we segregate, we get to our corners and we think what we think and we get in our echo chambers. Right. Mm-hmm. But if you can, and there's two kinds of capital, there's bridging capital. That's where people meet together and work out their differences. And then there's bonding capital. And the bonding capital is where you have a chance to interact with someone in your community and bond, right? Mm-hmm. And so we can say this is, you know, Trump did any of this, but he didn't. What happens is over the last, since the 1960s and onward, we have had a steady decline in every social community action kind of group. So PTA enrollment has just considerably gone down over time. You know, like the not the Lion House. What's it called? The Lion Club?
Oh, the Lions Club. Wait, what's that? What's that called? The Lions Club or the Elks
Fraternal
Club?
Order of Lions? Are you talking about the elk? Like or like the Lions?
Is it clear we don't have them very often? Because
yeah,
can't
no kidding. No,
yeah.
I know what you mean. But the little guys with the funny tassel hats riding around on their
right,
bikes.
The Loyal Order of Water Buffalo.
Right.
Right. There you go. The service organizations or even political clubs, or it could be, you know, various things. We have disconnected slowly. So you can't just blame the internet, everyone.
Yeah.
So since the 60s, it's gone lower and lower. People have also segregated more into like-minded groups. You know, they live in neighborhoods with people who think like them, et cetera.
Right.
So we, this bonding capital, this ability to be together and sort of connect and create a strong culture has been depleted.
Mm-hmm.
And yet we're not out and down yet. Like we can come back from this. And there's an interesting story about Netherlands. The Netherlands had it the same rate as we do. Mm. And us in England are about the same.
Mm.
But they have in the last 30 years increased it. So they're up to right below Norway, if not even with Norway, it was 70%. And so they looked at, you know, what are they doing in the Netherlands? And one of the things is it's just really focusing on integration and getting people together and people who are different spending time together. So this power we have is so cool. So this, go back to the email. I know I'm on my soapbox, everyone. Welcome to my soapbox.
This is a great place to be. It's nice and warm in here. It's good.
It's so warm in that soapbox. Smells like yummy soap. Anyway, is this. And that is, okay, you guys are wondering about your purpose in life. All right. And that's ultimately what it is. Because if you don't believe there's anything after, then there's nothing to worry about, right?
Mm.
But I mean, there is, but there isn't. So if the idea of what's after isn't the problem, like they're secure in their atheism, okay, cool. But that means maybe you're not secure in your life's purpose, right?
Mm.
And like making the most of this and feeling, I'll take this from Soren Kierkegaard. He's one of the fathers of existentialism and a northerner up here. Mm. Anyway, I think where is he from? Denmark. Anyway, is to find your authentic purpose, not the one you've been told to have by your parents or by society or, you know, whatever it may be, but that you find yourself the thing that fits you and put effort into that, right? Like if you're spending an average week, and let me guess, because this applies to a lot of us, go to work, come home, eat a meal, get entertained all night, right?
TV, a lot of people.
Series. Yeah. Absolutely. Like when I talk to the average person and they're like, what show are you watching? I'm like, I'm literally on the first season of Outlanders. Like I'm so behind on everything, right?
Yeah.
And they'll be like, oh, really? Okay, you should try this show. And they name, and if I do the math, at least 1,000 hours of watching that they've just described to me. And I'm like, good night. How have you done that?
Yeah.
Well, they have families and jobs and they're busy, but it's really nice to numb out and medicate our brains with entertainment. Absolutely. So if that's your average week, okay, cool. No judgment, but could you take Tuesday and just turn off everything electronic and work through some of this and think about what you want to do or get involved in, or just show up somewhere where you can volunteer or work on some of this bonding capital, right? Where you can spend time with other people, go bowling on a league, whatever. It doesn't have to be service. I prefer service because I think it super bonds us, but it can be anything. Just get out of your, whatever your current bubble is. Because this, let's talk about what we're worried about in an echo chamber is not going to make this better, which might be why weeks and weeks of dread has been your experience. You just got to get out of that bubble.
You just want to be able, and being able to say, you know, look back and say, you know what I did? I went out, I was on a bowling league. I helped at a soup kitchen, you know, stuff like that is kind of the purpose in life.
Well, yeah.
Right. And we know really quick, we know health outcomes for people who are alone a lot are as bad, if not slightly worse than smoking. Mm-hmm. I mean, we know what smoking does to your body, but being alone does the same thing. So that's really terrifying when you think about it. And so it is imperative for you to get this connection made. Now, maybe you don't feel like you're introverted, you're shy, you have social anxiety, you don't really want to do that. There's so many places where you can get meaningful, small connection. Doesn't have to be a big thing or a big party or, you know, things that stress you out. But you have to put some energy into finding that. So all the energy, take the week of existential dread, take the energy to keep that dread going for a whole week, the thoughts, the emotions, emotional energy, the physical energy, and put that towards finding some purpose and, you know, being open to some things life has to offer and how you authentically move in the world and figuring out you're unique. You're the only one here that's you. And what are you going to contribute or what are you going to, and maybe it's just you're nice to people and that's your contribution. Cool. But, you know, give yourself a chance to spend that energy on something good and you'd be surprised what you'll figure out.
All right. I like that. I think that's good advice for this sort of thing. And I think it's probably not a singular problem. I'll bet lots of people go through it. I know I've had my moments. Totally. And I can tell you this as somebody who has experienced full-on like clinical panic attacks, the feeling, it's all about feeling like you're going to die. Mm-hmm. And there's no, how do I put this? If you're in the throes of that and you're not getting help, or you're not talking to somebody, you're not, you know, exploring the possibility that maybe you've just got some chemical wonkiness going on, those moments are terrifying and they also create their own little sub PTSD going. Now you're afraid of having the thing that makes you afraid. Mm. And so you're now more afraid, which means you can have more of them. Like that stuff can just like stack and create like a whole Inception thing. So, sorry, I just was thinking of the movie Inception and it wouldn't get out of my head. But anyway,
incepted.
Anyway, just, you know, it doesn't matter what you believe or don't believe or any of that. When those moments happen, it doesn't matter. You're just like, whoa, suddenly I'm dying. We're all dead. We're done. We're out. And then you got to get help for that. So if that's what's going on,
and,
we just don't
know.
And
if it's something other than this thing we all go through and is more anxiety based, then get some treatment. 3 weeks of panicking about something isn't okay. And there's relief and there's help.
Yeah.
If it is this thing, it's just that it's gotten built so big that it needs some attention too, but make sure it is this thing and not a generalized thing that just sort of moves around. And
sure.
You know, once you figured out your existential crisis, then it moves on to something else. So, you know, might be a hint that it's more than that.
Sure. Well, good. This has been a good one, I think. Are you excited for the holidays, Wendy? You got they celebrate Christmas in Sweden, so it's not like you got to fake that one.
Yes, they do.
Yeah.
Yes, they do. Yeah, the other day, so I started another sewing class, and hilariously, I'm now working with Bosnian refugees. And if you know your history, they've been in Sweden 25 years.
Yeah, they've been there for a while.
And they are the cutest old ladies. I just love them. And there's a bunch of other people. But the Bosnian ladies or the Albanian women are just super into it.
So the Albanian ladies, let me get my stereotypes out of the way here.
Get your stereotypes right.
Are they squatty, wide, wear petticoats and have like headscarves?
Scarves.
Yeah, like scarves, like they're cold out there.
The stereotype that we just completely envision with.
Yeah. Looking for a sardine.
Are you
sardine.
Pitching like poor Russian peasants? Is
yeah,
that what you're saying?
Kind of.
Yeah, that's my stereotype. Okay. Right. No, not at all. In fact, they are just lovely and charming and not squatty in the least. And they've raised their kids here and their kids are, you know, married to Swedes and living the Swedish dream. And they're all fluent and we like to rip on how Swedes aren't used to it when you look like a Swede and then you speak bad Swedish, they get so confused.
Do they really?
They're like, what's happening right now?
What's a Koreans do?
Yeah. And anyway, we've been doing this class and it's really cute to work with them. It's really fun. And now I forgot my whole point of the story.
Yeah, I don't remember either. It was something about doing
Christmas.
Oh yeah.
They asked me, what's the difference between Christmas in America and Sweden? And I said, well, if you ask a Swede, they think it's so commercial and they think, oh, we are spending too much money and we really need to tone down Christmas. Mm-hmm. And to me, it is like the most lovely, simple. It's so beautiful.
I think most of Europe does Christmas right.
Yeah, I like how Christmas.
They do it right.
Yeah, I like how
so
they do it
So many lights and like subtle lights. There's no like
Oh, you gotta like those lights though when they're huge here though. That's I'm gonna stand up for America on this one. I like
Griswold,
big lights.
You're liking the Griswold
lights?
Yeah,
that's it, Griswold.
Yeah. Yeah.
So this is so funny. I'm driving through this little tiny town and every window has a star. If you don't have a star in your window, you're a weirdo, right? And then all the these I mean the lights are like a very, very subtle, very think IKEA, right? That's how we all look. Mm-hmm. And then you go around this corner and there is a Griswold house. And I'm like, there is an American living in that house. That's awesome.
That's probably a good
darn
way to tell.
Foreigners.
Yeah. Well, hey, yeah. If it makes anyone feel better, my house is very lightly lighted because I'm lazy and don't want to get on the roof. So there's that.
There you go.
Yeah. Please don't. Do
that. Yeah, I'm not gonna. Wendy,
I feel like you'll fall. You're the guy that falls.
No, I am the guy that falls. Are you kidding me? Yeah. It should be on the tombstone. The Scott Johnson. Here lies Scott Johnson, the guy that falls.
The guy that falls.
Yeah, and it's a big distance when you're 6'4". All right. We'll have a continued rad season. We'll see you, of course, next week and deal with somebody else's problem. Until then, have a good one, Wendy.
All right.
See you now. All right, Brian.
Very good.
We've done a show. I don't know if you know it or not, but we've done one.
I see the sand almost out of the hourglass.
Yeah.
Is how we know that.
Yep, that's right. So we're going to leave now. Today, 3 o'clock p.m. 3:30, sorry. 3:30 Mountain Time p.m. 3:30 p.m. Mountain Time. We're doing the TMS PM show brought to you by you fine folks over there, patreon.com/TMS. Because of your support there, we have that fifth episode a week, and we are happy to do it. So we're going to be doing that today. Be reviewing apps, talking some fun stuff, got some more news to go through, and taking your questions at the Ask TMS hashtag on Twitter. So
cool.
Send us those, and we'll be ready for you fine folks at 3:30 p.m. Mountain Time today. That's 2:30 Pacific, 5:30 Eastern. There we go. Frogpants.com/TMS is where everything else you need to know is, so go check it out. All right, let's head out the door with another song. Sorry, Luke, we got to do one more, buddy. What do you
one
got
there,
One more
song.
Brian?
Time to go get another Orange Crush and smoke a cigarette.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, a Sunkist. Tom D. wrote in, said, "Gentlemen, good day. It has been somewhat of a tradition to put forth a request on the day that one turns the number, which is the answer to life, the universe, and everything. And who am I to break tradition? Okay, so I'm the guy who loves the Muppets. You've already played Bohemian Rhapsody, so how about something else? Brian, you pick. Have a great day. P.S. Coverville has the heartiest chuckle in all of podcasting, and insert something nice about Scott here."
Jeez, Kong. Thanks a lot.
Pocket burger.
You're a pocket burger.
Oh, is it too early to get a fish sandwich?
Yes.
Anyway.
It is too early.
Thank you, Tom.
Yeah, thanks, Tom. You're the best.
So I decided to go with something that, if you're a fan of Breaking Bad, this is probably going to make you chuckle a little bit. It was revealed in, I think, the season finale that, Todd's, ringtone on his phone, whenever Lydia would call him, you know, Lydia, who, liked, little stevia in her tea,
mm-hmm.
whenever she would call him, it would play the old Groucho Marx tune, "Have You Met Lydia, the Tattooed Lady," or just, I guess, just called Lydia, the Tattooed Lady.
Mm-hmm.
So decided to go off of that and the Muppets. Back on the Muppet Show, Kermit the Frog, during one of his singing scenes, when he wasn't singing It's Not Easy Being Green or Rainbow Connection, decided to sing a cover of the Groucho Marx tune, Lydia, the Tattooed Lady. It's short, it's sweet, and it's to the point. Here's Kermit and Lydia, the Tattooed Lady.
Why does mine say Streetlight Manifesto and Pockrunt Girl?
Because that's the song that I picked for... the morning show. Oh. Streetlight Manifesto, Punk Rock Girl.
It's in the AM. That's right. So let me move it around.
Why don't
here.
You swap those? Sorry. Yeah.
It started to occur to me that I may not have the right one. Okay, there
Oops.
It is.
Yeah, that was, I did put that in AM. I have it here under AM. Yeah. So I completely read the wrong request.
Oh, good.
So Luke got me all messed up. Thanks, Luke.
Thanks a lot, Luke. All right. Well, here's Lydia, the Tattooed Lady then. And we'll do that. We'll swap it with that other one later.
Yeah, put that in the PM folder.
Yeah, it'll be fine. Here it is. It's Kermit the Frog. We'll see you guys tonight.
Lydia, oh Lydia, say have you met Lydia? Lydia the Tattooed Lady. She has eyes that folks adore, so and a torso even more. So Lydia, oh Lydia, that encyclopedia, oh Lydia, the queen of tattoo. On her back is the Battle of Waterloo. Beside it, the wreck of the Hesperus II. And proudly above waves the red, white, and blue. You can learn a lot from Lydia. La da da, da da da, la da da, da da da. She can give you a view of the world in tattoo if you step up and tell her where. For a dime you can see Kankakee or Parry or Washington crossing the Delaware. La da da, da da da, loo doo doo. Lydia, oh Lydia, say have you met Lydia? Oh Lydia, the tattooed lady. When her muscles start relaxing, up the hill comes Andrew Jackson. Lydia, oh Lydia, oh have you met Lydia? Oh Lydia, the champ of them all. She once swept an admiral clear off his feet. The ships on her hips made his heart skip a beat. And now the old boy's in command of the fleet. For he went and married Lydia.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Yes, get more at frogpants.com.
You like peppers?
Sure.